Welcome to Illinois State University. This is John Sayre, Director of Alumni Services and Development, and I'm talking today with Ms. Marion Dean of East Moline, Illinois, a member of the class of 1929 at ISU. Upon the occasion of this class entering the Half Century Club on May 5, 1979, it is our intent to offer a bit of oral history or reminiscing on topics of importance to all alumni, with the emphasis on the way it was in 1929. We hope that those who listen to this tape will enjoy hearing from the persons who have volunteered to record this bit of ISU history and will find it interesting and informative. First, Ms. Dean, what are the things that have stayed foremost in your memory about those days? And I'll just ask you some specifics as we go along, and you can respond to those as you remember them. You know, as you think back 50 years...
That's a long time. It's hard to remember.
What was, generally speaking, what was life like at Illinois State Normal University then?
Well, it was very busy, as life usually is on a university, if the people are taking their opportunity for an education seriously. And it seemed as though so many people that I knew and I was in school here were involved in a great many different areas. They didn't go to seed in one particular area, but were interested in several. Many of the boys were both sports-minded and also took part in speech activities.
What was the enrollment then? Do you recall offhand, just generally?
I haven't. That's too long ago. No, I haven't any idea.
What about the campus itself and the size? Do you remember much about the new buildings? And
the campus, let's see, was bounded by a university avenue over here and Fell Avenue on the other side, mm-hmm. Beaufort Street to the south, and I think Mulberry, isn't Mulberry, mm-hmm. On the north. And that was it, period. There were six buildings on the campus at that time. Thomas Metke, Old Main, the Manual Arts, or whatever it was called, had the auditorium in. The Old Castle, which was then the gym, and the Commerce Department on the second floor. Bell Hall, and the Old Library, which was over on Mulberry Street, which I guess is geography now. If it's still there, it may have been torn down. Period. I wouldn't need a conducted tour of the campus anymore.
Yeah, it's without question has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talk about to the north, I'm wondering now, College Avenue would have been the most northernmost point.
Well, maybe they've changed Mulberry Street to College Avenue.
Just trying.
It's the street that was just north of the old library, and they put a science building in there in more recent years. But the street next to it on that side was Mulberry at the time when I lived here and went to school here.
It was a two-way street, so
mm-hmm.
Now we have college going one way,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it's Mulberry that comes back the other now.
Oh,
so that would have been Mulberry
then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Almost need a conducted tour normal, though. I was born and raised here.
What do you remember about President Felmley? Is there anything particular that sort of strikes you in your memory of him?
Not really. I managed to stay out of trouble, so I stay out of the president's office. I just remember that he was president, and that where his home was on School Street, there near the corner. And that he was short and a little rotund. I just really didn't have any personal contacts with him, as far as I can recall.
Did they have any kind of a weekly assembly or something?
Oh yes.
Did he conduct that, or?
I suppose, though I don't remember who conducted it, but we had it. I suppose it was weekly in the auditorium, and everybody attended.
Do you, did he make appearances at the assembly?
I presume so, but you know, my my memory is not as good as it once was.
What about some of your other professors and other university officials? Are any of them that you remember more than anyone else for any particular reasons?
Well, I remember I had to go down to see Mr. Manchester once because I was on the failing list for Mr. Schrader's class.
Uh-huh.
He scared the wadding out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dr. Manchester did, or
Schrader? No, Schrader did.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, he kind of calmed me down. I did all right after that. But oh, that was an experience I never had before. I didn't want again. Of course, I went to U High too, so a lot of those people were important. The only teacher whose room I felt terribly badly about getting out of was Miss Imbolden's. That was seventh grade, and I cried.
Mm. You had her then
in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Thomas Metcalf and U High. Well, in the college level, I had Mr. Schrader for class, and later he was acting president under Brown, or after Brown left,
mm-hmm.
I forget which it was. And he called me in and gave me a chance to teach four classes here. So I guess he didn't remember that I flunked it.
Mm-hmm.
One quarter.
Did you have a dean of men or dean of women then? Is that
Manchester was dean of the school, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln's was dean of men,
mm-hmm.
and Miss Barton was the dean of girls.
Mm-hmm.
She taught Latin in high school too, one semester, and I never struggled so in my life. Second semester, and a new teacher came in, and she was so kind that I got along all right. I'm trying to think of her name, but I can't. I don't see her picture here.
Well, she came later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have gotten her in
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. I had Mr. Malmberg in one of the education courses. I had John Kinneman in one of my history, and W.A.L. Byer. He was a sweetie.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I used to pass on to some of my own classes when I was talking about the people's rights. Mr. Byer always said, "Your rights end where my nose begins." So, you know, this could say, "Well, this is a free country. Why can't I do this, that, or the other?" So I always.
The answer to that.
Yeah, it was a good answer to that. Still was a good one.
What about the services that were available on the campus? Such things as health service. Did you have a doctor, nurse?
There was
clinic,
a doctor. Oh dear, I don't think I can remember her name.
It was a woman then. It was
yeah,
a doctor
it was
then.
A woman.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. It was a woman, and her office was in the on the first floor, someplace or other, in a little castle, I think.
Well, now we named our health center for Rachel Cooper. Would that have been who it was?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So she was actually an MD
mm-hmm.
doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, I think we were talking earlier, and you mentioned that there wasn't any actual counseling per se, but there was
a
placement service.
Oh, yes, but we were supposed to, when we registered, we were supposed to go to somebody or other. They had a whole group of the professors who were doing it. We had somebody to go to approve what we were going to take, but nobody ever asked me if I ever thought of going on and doing any advanced work, or suggesting that I should, even an undergraduate, should have at least 1 year of a foreign language. But they didn't.
But there wasn't.
And Latin was such a bugaboo to me that I didn't suggest it. I don't know. I might not have taken French would have been what I would have taken, but I might not have even then, because, Jenny Whitten was teaching it at the time, and we claimed cousinship, though we really weren't. And you know how students are, if somebody who is related to somebody happens to do well. So I fall away from that, and then I had to take it to the University of Illinois.
Now, about placement, was there a placement?
Yes, there was a placement, a service. And, oh dear, I can't remember who was in charge now.
But they actually helped find jobs for people.
Yeah, even when I graduated in 29, they did.
Okay, what about participation in things like athletics, dramatics, and other kinds of extracurricular activities?
I was as athletically inclined as my dog, and just as mechanically inclined too. So I took field hockey and tennis because we had to have a year of gym and we had to have a sport. Mm-hmm. But that was the period I was gladdest to get rid of. I was in plays. In fact, I belonged to Beta Alpha Phi, is that for dramatic club, the fraternity? Mm-hmm. And Pi Kappa Delta, public speaking. In fact, I was president of Pi Kappa Delta for, that's one of the things I looked through, but I guess I wrote down. I was president in 27, 28, and 29. In 29, we had the Illinois-Wisconsin Province Convention here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I waded through that, but I did. I was in Gestures and Theta Alpha Phi, Women's Intercollegiate Debate a couple of different years. I was in the index staff for 3 years, the vedette staff for 2 years, or one year, 28, 29. I was a Raytonian. Did they have enough?
Not by such.
Well, it was Raytonian and a Philadelphian group, and everybody was in one or the other, and we just was drawn by lot, you know. And they had a contest once a year. And I belonged to the Hieronymus Club, but don't ask me why. I was surprised to find I had.
What kind of rewards or satisfactions were gained from participation in these out-of-class activities? Was there any,
just fun, more or less. If I wasn't in the play, I oftentimes was on the staff, and some of it was a lot of work, like the vedette staff and the index staff, getting those things in line to put out. Is Howard White going to be here?
I'm sure.
He was the editor of the vedette.
She has a list up there. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen him for ages. He's moved east, I think. And, I enjoyed the speech things. And I had a major, really, in speech by the time I graduated. I was a double major in history, a major in English, and a major in speech. But I kept the speech one very quiet. Only the first 2 years I taught did I have to do anything with speech, and that year I had all the speech to cope. And so after that, I kept very still. That on top of 5 classes was a little bit much.
Yeah, I can imagine. Students talk today about how difficult it is to complete their education for various reasons. How would you compare how it was then and the way it seems to be from what you hear today? You know, student concern and attitude in getting their education.
Well,
did you find it difficult to?
No, because my dad subsidized me. We lived here, and I don't think he went to high school even. But he and Mom were both determined I was going to have a college education. And with the school right here, I could live at home and eat at home, and it simplified things, of course. And the enrollment was, the cost was so minimal, at least it seems so minimal now.
What do you remember what the tuition was?
$34 or $36 a quarter, I think. We were on the quarter basis rather than a semester. And then, of course, we rented our books, and after we'd paid the rental fee, we could keep them if we wanted them. If we didn't want them, we could turn them back and get the refund. Financially, it was a breeze in comparison to today. I think maybe there's a generation gap. But it seems to me that a lot of the kids who go on to college today go just for the heck of it, go just for the fun. They want to get in all the clubs and sororities and fraternities, if there are any, and have a ball. And if they pass, all right, and if they don't, well, maybe Dad didn't have a degree, didn't go to college, and so why bother? And, of course, money is tighter now.
Now, you lived in town. Mm-hmm. What was the transportation modes then? How you were you in walking distance? Or?
Well, you know where Willow Street is.
Yeah.
I lived on Poplar, two blocks north of Willow, and between Linden Street and the railroad, mm-hmm. which was a good mile. Mm-hmm. But from first grade through high school, I walked home and back at noon, too. After I got into college, well, we didn't have a car, of course, in those early years. And after we finally got a car and I got old enough, my dad had the salesman teach me how to drive. And since he worked during the day, he worked for the railroad, the depot down here, he let me take the car, especially when I got into college. I drove back and forth a lot of the time. And in the evening, of course I had to go to the library to get assignments and all that stuff, or work for the vedette or for the. So I had the use of the car in college years, but before that I walked. Nobody heard of buses.
What, there was no any kind of bus system in.
There was
from Bloomington to here? Or?
There was a bus that made a loop around Normal. It went through Beaufort Street and up Linden Street and back across Lincoln, I think. And I'm not sure whether it came down school or university. So there was a time I could have ridden the bus, but I don't.
Did the bus go on down into Bloomington and
no,
back?
No, it was a Normal loop.
Mm-hmm.
Made connections with the Bloomington bus. It came down to the station store over here on the corner, just outside the gate over here. And you could transfer there, or you could transfer downtown.
What about transportation from outside in? Trains? Was there a bus system that came into Bloomington Normal from Chicago? Or?
I don't think so at that time, because there was the Chicago-Knowlton Railroad that went from Normal to Chicago and to Springfield and to St. Louis. And then straight north in Illinois, there was the Illinois Central. And Dad, that's what Dad worked for, those two railroads.
That would be in the main connection then to the outside world with the railroad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't recall any buses. That is intercity buses, other than right around here.
Did many students have cars on campus, even though cars weren't
not
that
many.
Not what
many.
About bicycles and things like that? Did many have bicycles, do you recall?
Since I couldn't ride one, I really didn't
never
notice.
Paid much attention.
I don't remember that they did.
Now, someone has referred to Bloomington as having been. It was a larger town, of course, then, and it was some, quote, distance, unquote, from campus, as I heard some comment. Is that?
Yeah, it was, yet it wasn't all that terribly far. When I was small, Mother and I used to walk from our house to Bloomington, especially if we wanted to go to a show. We'd walk. So to save the money, so we have money to go to a show. So you see, it didn't cost $2 or $3 to go to a show in those days.
Now, did the students go to the shows down in Bloomington
uh-huh.
very much?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. There weren't any in
Normal.
In Normal, at the
Normal
time.
Was not very big then, I guess.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't.
What do you recall, for instance, what a movie? What was the cost of a movie then?
Can't remember, but I do know it couldn't have been very much if we saved enough so we could go to a movie without paying very much more by walking from mm-hmm. home to Bloomington. Mm-hmm. I would say 25 cents maybe.
What
that's a guess right off the top of my head.
What about things like hamburgers or beef? Do you remember? What?
no, I can't. I remember Dorothy Willard and I used to go places together. And when we coming home, or when we came home from school, sometimes we'd walk home together down through town. Of course, we'd stop at Hildebrand's and get a Coke, chocolate Coke or a cherry Coke.
Yeah, Hildebrand's was a drugstore.
Is there a drugstore still there by that name?
No.
There used to be, not too far. Well, of course, that's changed too. State and the First National Bank used to be right on the corner of Broadway and North Street.
Okay.
And Broadway went on up. There's just one more block of Broadway went up into a funeral home up there.
Well, funeral home is still there. That's what we call College Avenue. Mm-hmm.
Well, Hildebrand's was two or three doors from that corner. And right on our way home since we walked through town. And then if we really were out on the town, if we went to a show or something, tried to think of the name of it so many times, I can't remember. But there was an ice cream place in Moline that we used to, she could get her dad's car sometimes. And we would go there and get a funny sundae. Remember what it was involved.
Oh, you go all the way to Moline's for it?
Well, yeah, when we went to the show, why didn't we end up with that?
Hmm.
And I thought so many times when we were on our folks, we had to have, you know, funny sundaes or something like that that were probably a quarter at least in those days. Hmm. But after we got so that we were working and paying for our own, we would settle for a small Coke.
Hmm.
I guess that's kid fashion.
Well, that's staying within a budget. People get more budget conscious when it's their own income, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
What was the typical mode of dress on campus then? You used to think of people dressing one way to go to class, another way to church or social life, etc. So do you recall there being much difference? What one would wear to those different types of things? Today, you know, class, they're going in just jeans and that sort of thing.
Oh, well, of course, nothing like that. No jeans, no shorts, nothing of that sort. It was either a dress or a skirt and a blouse. Mm-hmm. And dresses, I noticed, I had to look at some of the pictures in the book. Dresses, it was one of the times when they wore long-waisted ones, mm-hmm. which was real good on short-waisted me. But the length was not mini, but not as long as it's supposed to have now, if you're really in style. It covered the knees, and that was about all. At least I noticed from the pictures in the annual. But no jeans, no slacks, no nothing of that sort.
Remember what the men wore to class?
They didn't wear blue jeans either. They wore pants and shirts.
Church or social life, they've become much more formal than that. Did they use
coats and ties for the fellows and definitely dresses for the girls? I've gotten all the coats people are shown wearing in here have great big fur collars, and some of them even have fur around the bottom.
Mm.
And these, I don't know what to call these, real tight fitting hats were quite the thing then, too. Mm.
For church or social life. In that 1920-29 era, what was the most important national event that you recall happened at that time? It wouldn't have to be necessarily one event, but something that was happening that you may recall that was most significant from that period.
History major, you think I can think of a thing?
Of course, history runs together after a while, so it's sometimes mm-hmm. hard to mm-hmm. place them in mm-hmm. given mm-hmm. times.
The Depression was approaching. Times were getting tough. In fact, I taught 2 years and I didn't want to go back there, so I quit and went to the University of Illinois to get my master's. And the banks closed while I was there. I had 5 cents and a meal ticket, and I had paid for my room for the week. But, and then, of course, the depression was really bad then for a year after that, because there were just no jobs. That's when I got a chance to teach 4 classes with the university and take one at the same time so they could pay me 35 cents an hour. For the four I taught.
Was there an election about that time? Showed my ignorance of history.
I'm showing my ignorance of history too. I can't remember.
Because we had the Hoover administration that came in. I can't recall if his election would have been in 28, would it have been? Or because the Roosevelt administration came in about 32, wasn't it?
He was in during World War II, but that didn't begin until
Hoover, but later.
I can't remember. I'm ashamed to say.
Well, let me go on and ask you something else. Today we know such a prevalence of drugs, smoking, drinking, etc. How was the use of tobacco and alcoholic beverages back then? Was it?
You didn't.
You just didn't.
That was drilled into us from the time we enrolled. You are going to be teachers. And teachers do not drink. Teachers do not smoke. We mean it. Some of them got put out because they did.
On both or either?
Either one. Mm-hmm. And drugs I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. It was just smoking and drinking.
Mm-hmm. What would you say was the thing you liked most about Illinois State Normal University? One thing particularly that you remember more fondly than anything else about the school?
Well, I've always been glad I came here for my undergraduate work rather than going to the University of Illinois. It was a smaller school. Being a smaller school, I could be a bigger duck in a little puddle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I got to be in plays. I got to take part in women's intercollegiate debate and in gestures and be president of Pi Kappa Delta for two rounds and take an end of Theta Alpha Phi and things like that. But I wouldn't have been good enough to get into those things at the University of Illinois. I wouldn't have gotten on the annual staff at the University of Illinois or the vedette staff down there. But I was good enough to do it here, and I tried to do a good job. I guess it did, because let me stay more than 1 year. Mm-hmm. But I felt that way about high school kids when they finish, when they go to big schools, unless they're just outstanding. I think it's a pity. Because if they would go even 2 years to a smaller school, they could really feel a part of the school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the University of Illinois to get my master's. But I didn't know anything that was going on the campus except what was in the history department and in the library. I didn't have time. I wasn't all that interested either by that time.
Were you pretty satisfied with the quality of education received here from the?
Yeah, I think one or two of the education profs were a little bit weak, and I did resent, we had to spend, I forget whether it was an hour a week or more than 1 hour a week in the psychology lab throwing darts at a bullseye and keeping record of our score. And I thought of all that. Waste of time, idiotic ass. That was such a waste of time to me.
Didn't really prove anything.
Yeah, I couldn't see that it proved anything. But I had some awfully nice teachers here, old J. Rose Colby. I didn't like, I never had liked poetry when I came here, but of course I'd had practice teachers in New High. You know, not everybody can read poetry. She could read poetry and it would give you the chills up and down your backbone.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought to say that I love poetry thanks to J. Rose. And I always enjoyed Ms. Beyer and English history became my favorite area. I only taught American history twice in my life. Once was here and once in Marycrest after I retired from high school teaching.
If you were to pick something that was least favorable to you, you know, the thing that you didn't care for, ISNU.
It'll always be ISNU to me.
Okay. I have no objections, that's all right. is there any particular thing that was negative to you that you recall?
Well, I didn't particularly like some of the education courses. They were kind of boring. And some of them I can't see that they did me any good.
Heard people say that about most teachers' colleges, that they've probably had some education courses seemed unnecessary.
And we had to have, you see, we had to have a major in education, but some of it, a little more work in our own teaching area would have been an advantage, I think. Of course, one thing that I think was really too bad, maybe too, we were allowed then to go to seed in our field. I had to make up chemistry, which I didn't take in high school. Somehow I escaped that. And I hadn't taken general science either. But that was the only science course I had. I had no math whatsoever. As a result, when I went out to teach, when I had studied all the first year or two, kids that have to be having trouble with algebra, maybe the first week or two I could remember enough to help them a little bit, but so English and speech and history were all I took. Nothing else. And I think the way they're doing it in more recent years, requiring that they take a kind of a broad course in their at least the first year, get a little taste of several different things. I think that's wise.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting to hear. Well, we've sort of covered the whole waterfront here.
I've done a little extra gabbing too.
No, that's all right. That's what we wanted. We wanted to get your reminiscing on tape, and so I guess we should close our session now, so that you can go visit with your classmates. They're starting to meet at the union. I thank you very kindly for giving us your time and this reminiscing, and we'll let you hear the tape one of these days after we get them all put together. You might be interested in that.
I probably will cover my face when I hear it, or plug up my ears or something.
Well, that concludes our interview with Ms. Marion Dean from the class of 29 for part of our series of reminiscing about ISNU.